Welcome to Panther Potpourri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Presented by Florida Hockey Now. Here are your hosts, Jacob Langsam, Alex Lopez, and TJ Peterson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Panther Potpourri, Florida Hockey Now podcast. I am your very, very happy host, Jacob Langsam, and here with me, as always, are my equally excited co-hosts, Alex Lopez and TJ Peterson. And holy fuck, who goddamn else but Carter motherfucker, and I mean that literally, Verhaeghe. That man, he may be the most important player in the history of this team. I like, whenever this team needs someone to fucking step up, it's always Carter Verhaeghe who answers the call. The Panthers have taken a 2-0 series lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning on the back of a Carter Verhaeghe overtime game winner. I should say another Carter Verhaeghe playoff overtime game winner. He now has 5 in his career, which ties him for the third most in the history of the NHL.
That's right. Carter Verhaeghe now has as many playoff overtime goals as Lil Wayne has the Carter albums.
What a weird contextualization.
It's called the Carter. That's what it's called.
I know it's called that.
But let's marinate on that for a second. Third most in NHL history. One dude who was a fucking untendered, restricted free agent, Carter fucking Verhaeghe. A guy Tampa said, hey, we can't afford you, just go. And he has the third most OT goals in playoff history. More than guys like Connor fucking McDavid. Like, he is up there. This guy is on the Mount Rushmore of clutch players in South Florida sports history, with names like Dwayne Wade, Dan Marino, and like Levon Hernandez. Like, this guy is there. He is that fucking clutch. Like, anytime you need a goal in the fucking playoffs, Carter Verhaeghe is there to fucking bury it. He is on so many teams, like, X-team killer list. Like, Tampa hates him. Washington hates him.
He owns Boston Washington. Hates him. Forget Washington hates him. He is their father.
Yeah. He is the capital in Washington Capitals. Like, it's insane how clutch Carter Verhaeghe is.
You know, the Washington Monument is actually in commemoration of Carter Verhaeghe's. Oh, I probably shouldn't finish that sentence, actually.
For the record, the two players with more than 5 overtime playoff game winners are Maurice Richard with 6 and Joe Sakic with 8. He is tied for third with Glenn Anderson, Patrick Kane, and Corey Perry. But, like, fuck, man. There just isn't a player whose stick you'd rather the puck be on if you just desperately need a goal. And I know I said that last year too, but fuck, it's just...
Because it was true last year.
It's always true. It's always Carter. And this was also just another fucking dominant showing by the Panthers. I know, like, yeah, the second period, most of the second period and the entire third, very stressful.
It was 5 minutes of the second period. No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
I'd say it's stressful in terms of, you know, that Tampa can sometimes just score on command. They also did get a nice little double minor in there that, granted, the Panthers held them to 2 shots on goal.
They had most of their pressure after tying the game. They really, like, they tied the game on a fluke and a power play, which is pretty much verbatim what Alex tweeted at the time. And then that was their best stretch of the game in the 15 minutes after. Much like in game one, once the third period started, the Panthers... They said, all right, playtime's over. They didn't come out and score immediately, but look, they were the team that were way more likely. The end of the game stats looked way more lopsided than I expected them to, considering the way they looked at the end of two. But I mean, I was just so stressed out about the game being tied up, and what you saw, like the speed of the Lightning was giving the Panthers defense a lot of problems, particularly in the second period. But in the second period, they were getting a lot of odd man rushes. It wasn't necessarily 2-on-1s, breakaways. There was the one breakaway in the third period. But they were attacking the two lone D. The Panthers were getting in deep, trying to forecheck. And that was creating some opportunities. Obviously, not enough that they were backbreaking. I mean, let's bring it up now. Sergei Bobrovsky made the save of the season, potentially the save of the decade, on one of those opportunities.
But that fucking opportunity was created on a fluke. It wasn't like Tampa did anything great to create that chance. It was, oh, hey, here's a fluky bounce off the boards. Bobrovsky needed like that was the definition of when in doubt, stick a pad out, even though it was his arm. But like, you're just trying to get big and hope, you know, that's one of those lucky saves that, you know, are on highlight reels forever. But at the same time, the only reason that chance happened was because of a fluky bounce off the dasher. Like, it is what it is. Like Lightning got their first goal off a fluky bounce off the dasher. And the hockey gods were saying, like, all right, we already gave you one. You know, we're going to match the fluky, the bounce off the dasher with a fluky save. And Bob came up with it, and the game stayed at 2-2.
Yeah, I think that it was a lucky bounce. But also, that lucky bounce doesn't matter if it's a, you know, in-zone cycle play. Because it was a transition opportunity, it granted them the ability to have basically a free shot on a 90% open net. And the 10% that Bob covered ended up being very, very pivotal. I mean, it wasn't like Bob was standing on his head in general. Who was the better team in this game? The Panthers, absolutely. In the first period, the Lightning were extremely lucky to only be down 2-0. That was a 5-0 type of period. Like, that power play that the Panthers scored on, they could have scored on four other opportunities on it. And they had the better chances when they were up 2-0 too. Like, once the Lightning got their two flukes, that was when they really started waking up and being like, you know what, we're in this game, even though we, like, got totally outclassed in the first period. Like, we can – it doesn't matter because it's tied now off, you know, essentially two one-offs.
The Lightning were in a 2-2 hockey game, like I tweeted and like you said, based on a fluke and a power play. But they've been dominated for 85-90% of the series. Like, they had a five-minute flurry in game one where they got the game tied. They lost 3-2. They had a five-minute flurry where they came down from 2-0 to tie it at 2-2. They lost 3-2 in overtime. The Panthers are clearly the better hockey team in this series. It's not debatable. It's just, hey, can the bounces go right enough? Can Vasilevsky make enough saves for Tampa to stay competitive? That's what we've got in this series. And, you know, I tweeted it out. I've kind of alluded to it, but like, this is Ronda Rousey after she's been knocked out by Holly Holm. And it's like, hey, can she get off the mat? And the Panthers are Amanda Nunes saying, no, you can't. Thanks for everything you've done, but, like, your time is done. And that's what we've seen the first two games. And it's easy to say it now, but if the Lightning had gotten been able to get the overtime goal to tie the series at 1-1, I'd be sitting here saying I'm not concerned. Because on the ice, the Panthers have been by far the better team. The Lightning are getting a couple flurries to keep these games close, but there is no debate in anybody's mind who the better hockey team is.
Correct.
It's the Florida Panthers. And Tampa is just kind of hoping, like, hey, we're big brother. We've got the playoff experience. We've got the cup experience. We've got Nikita Kucherov. We've got Andrei Vasilevsky. We can steal some games and make this feel closer than it is. But this is not a close series. The Panthers deserve to be up 2-0, and they deserve – like, this honestly should have been 2 Laffer games, 2-0.
Yeah, a team with John Cooper as their coach and the level of talent that they have, it's never just going to be a Laffer. Like, this is as close as I feel like it's going to be to a Laffer for the Tampa Bay Lightning. At least, you know, we'll see what happens in game 3 and 4. I can't say I would be absolutely shocked if the Lightning come out and they look awesome in game 3 and it, all of a sudden it's 2-1. Now, I would be a little bit surprised if we're coming back game 5 and it's 2-2. There's no doubt about that. But, like, I'm not going into game 3 thinking, like, okay, this is a formality. Let's just get this over with and get ready for round 2.
No.
I would never be ballsy enough to write off a playoff series against Tampa, no matter how well the Panthers are playing. And I will say, all situations right now, the shot attempt The shot attempts are 139 to 110 in the Panthers' favor.
I'm shocked it's that close. We go long stretches of game where the Panthers are the only team getting chances.
Mm-hmm. Let's give out some individual flowers. How does that sound?
I'm giving Sasha all of Barkov my flowers again. To Carter Verhaeghe.
And Carter
Verhaeghe. All of them. Every shout single out one. To the,
shout out to the best Swedish defenseman in the series, Gustav Forsling.
Also,
he's
that,
been
yes.
far and away the best defenseman in the series. Like, nobody is on his level. And that's a little bit of a way of saying that, like, I do think that the other five guys on the Panthers' blue line can play better. But so much for the Dmitry Kulikov might have to be taken out thing, by the way, because I think he's been pretty good. Definitely better than we expected.
He's been fine.
There's
nobody on the Florida Panthers roster where I can say is a weak link right now. Weak
no.
link. A weak link.
TJ, you may want to hold your horses a little bit on that. Because
what, his stats are bad?
Well, not really. In game one, Kulikov was the only Panther to have a negative shot attempt share.
Well, I mean, he's getting the defensive, like, usage, I'm sure. Yeah.
Game two was a bit closer, and actually Kulikov was one of the Panthers to be very high in Corsi 4 percentage. Kulikov's been a fucking monster.
Yeah, but when there's one guy with
series,
a negative shot share, you don't make any changes.
Right.
Yeah, unfortunately, they probably will have to make a change for game three because Sam Bennett left the game in the second period. He took a shot off of his left hand.
Yeah.
And from Brandon Montour, he did not play for the remainder of the game. We have not heard any post-game comments, but I would have to imagine it. Like, the way that injuries work, and we saw this with Jimmy Butler in the play-in game, is that if you are likely to come back from it, like, in the short term, it's more likely to happen in the game that the injury occurs in than the next game. Generally. I'm not a doctor, so don't take my word for it from that perspective. But, like, that's just what we've seen as sports fans throughout history. Is like that's just more likely. So I have a feeling that we're not going to be seeing him in game three.
As an actual quote-unquote hockey player, even though I'm a goalie, if you cannot grip your stick, that's the only time you don't play when it comes to a hand injury. And the fact that Sam Bennett didn't come back after taking a shot off the hand tells me he could not grip his stick, which means it swelled immediately.
Yeah.
Which gives rise to there's a broken bone in his hand. And who, like, it could be a couple of days and then he's going to grip his stick, you know, knocked up full of painkillers and cortisone shots. Or, he's not going to be able to grip his stick and it's going to take a while. It's going to be one of those two things. This, you know, if it was just a bruise, we would have seen him the rest of the game. TJ, you absolutely nailed it. I would be surprised if we see Sam Bennett in game three. And the reality is you have a 2-0 lead. I would wait until game five, assuming there is an actual injury there and it's not just, hey, it's swollen up, but the MRIs, the x-rays were all fine and he's fine. But, like, if there's an actual injury, I wouldn't bring him back until game five.
Yeah. And you've got to imagine also that, like, just playoff mentality, hockey player mentality, if it was even remotely playable, he would have been playing.
Yes.
Like,
right.
Yes. That's just how hockey players are. So to know that he came out, right. To know that he left the game and did not return, you have to assume that it is a legitimate injury. So, yeah, we'll see who steps up. Lundell looked really good in his spot.
Yes.
And just, like, the swagger of a Tkachuk-Lundell-Verhaeghe line, I love that. All three of those guys have so much swagger to their personality.
Yeah. And you talk about the depth of this Florida Panthers team. It's not Zach Dalpe coming in if, you know, Sam Bennett can't go. It's going to be Kyle Okposo. It's going to be blanking because
I feel like
Jonah Gadjevich
tonight over Lomberg. It's going to be Jonah Gadjevich. It's guys who are legitimately NHL caliber, not Zach Dalpe, who's playing on the fourth line in Charlotte right now. Yeah, Zach Dalpe had huge goal in game six. But, like, you've got better options now.
Oh, 1,000%. I do hope we see Okposo, but that's just me being an Okposo fan. It might not be.
I mean, Okposo's the obvious choice.
you know, Paul Maurice will make the decision. I kind of personally think that what he'll do is move up Cousins and Gadjevich or no, probably just Lomberg will jump into that Cousins spot on the fourth line.
Assuming Lomberg is
there is one other option that we've seen before, TJ. And that's you move Lundell up to the second line.
Well, that's going to happen.
Move Etu back to the center spot on the third line. And
well, that's going to happen.
Or not Cousins, put Lomberg on the wing on the third line. That is also something we've seen before.
You can't do that. I mean, you could do anything. You could play me on the fourth line, but that's...
No, see, you're not an NHL player. Ryan Lomberg is.
He's the degree that he is away from being a top nine forward is not much.
It's not top nine. It's bottom six.
Well, I would rather play anybody else in the lineup in the top nine than Lomberg.
You would rather Cousins on the third line?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
I agree.
I personally don't think that Lomberg is one of the best 12 forwards.
I think he is in the sense of playoffs rely so much on vibes, and Lomberg brings vibes, and he's a fan favorite.
Oh, yeah, yeah. From that perspective, I agree.
But, like, when you're in the playoffs and, like, you have a fan favorite who touches an opponent and gets the entire arena off their feet, Lomberg does that.
Yeah.
Gadjevich doesn't.
Yes.
While I think Gadjevich is a slightly better player, like, those vibes do matter in the playoffs. So it's like, all right, when it's really close, you put Lomberg out there because, like, he literally just has to touch an opponent and every single person in the crowd loses their shit.
Yeah, like, Paul Maurice is pretty close to untouchable in terms of his, like, he's pulled every right string and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That I wouldn't be able to just like say, well, let Paul cook if he healthy scratches Kyle Okposo to play Lomberg on the third line. Like, sorry, that's a decision I just can't shut up about. But I mean, he hasn't even made it yet. We're not gonna react negatively until he actually.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about
there
whatever
should be
the
no reason for negative reactions
on Thursday
period.
After the game.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, maybe we're wrong. Maybe Sam Bennett is fine.
Yeah, who knows?
I would assume by tomorrow in game three. Who knows? Maybe this entire conversation is irrelevant.
I would assume by tomorrow's podcast with Liam McHugh, we'll have more information on Sam Bennett.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what more there really is to say at this point. Like, it's two dominating performances. Both ended up being just one goal wins, but the performances on the ice themselves were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like there's just not a lot more to say. Like, if the Panthers can keep finding a way to just beat Vasi enough times, like, that's Vasilevsky is realistically the only roadblock to the Panthers winning the series. And so far, they've done a decent job figuring him out. If they can keep that up, like, there are 2-0. I'm not predicting a sweep. I'm sticking to my original Panthers in 5 call. This is the dragon the Panthers need to slay, and they're fucking doing it.
Yeah.
I will be so unabashedly confident about the Panthers' ability to win the Stanley Cup if they win 2 of the next 3 games. I'm already, getting there. Just being up 2-0 on Tampa, I'm already getting there.
It's 2-0, but it feels like more than 2-0. We're in the sense of, like, all the things we said in our preview that the Panthers need to worry about, Vasilevsky being very good, Lightning scoring on the power play, those things have happened.
Fucking Stamkos one-timer, man. That fucking Stamkos one-timer is lethal.
Yeah. I did want to point out that, like, yes, the Lightning scored a 5-on-4 goal and have since equalized this season in terms of Panthers killing a 5-on-4 Lightning penalty. The goal differential is now 0. But, like, you know, they didn't really break down on any of the Tampa power play opportunities. They had, and they gave up a double minor in this game that they killed off.
They only allowed 2 shots on goal. The 4-minute double minor. They only saw two shots on goal.
And got a breakaway during
the best, right? The best chance on the double minor was Ekblad's breakaway.
Yeah, we're living in a world where, as a Panthers fan, you really don't need to fear the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's not saying Tampa can't come back and win two.
Right.
And game five is a massive game, but like through six and a half periods, the Panthers are by far the better team on the ice. Tampa's surviving on Vasilevskiy being a god.
Yep.
And getting some clutch power play goals and some fluky chances. Like
Vasilevskiy is the only reason that I'm not making Panthers in three jokes.
You know, we could be sitting here a week from now talking about a game six and a game seven, but right now, as things play out, the Panthers are by far the better team on the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what John Cooper's got up his sleeve. But, I could see him pulling out something, but like frankly, 80% of the things that I'm visualizing also have Paul Maurice having a counter to it. So,
right,
it's way more likely a week from now we are having a funeral for the Tampa Bay Lightning dynasty and saying, "Hey, your time was done. It was nice. It was great. You guys won two cups back to back, played for a third, but it's time to retool and rebuild." Then, hey, it's way more likely we're talking about that than, hey, it's a 2-2 series or it's a 3-2 series and game six is massive. Like, we're sitting here right now. I'm not saying talking about a cocky, but just objectively saying the Panthers are showing Big Brother.
They are the better team right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lightning got to win.
This series is about vindication for the Panthers, and they are performing.
Yeah, it's establishing what we've thought throughout the year is the Lightning had their time. They were a dynasty. They had a fantastic team, but I think it's over.
And I will say, for as great a team as Tampa is, this is definitely the best round one performance that the Panthers have had in many years, including last year.
Yes.
Last year Absolutely. Was iconic for what the seeding differential and the points differential between the two teams, but they weren't like just dominating games. The four that they won, yeah, they weren't like dominating games. That Washington series, yeah, they won it, but there were some
there were nerves. This I have not series, been concerned.
It's the best first round series that they've played. Probably since 1996.
Yeah, I'll swear on whatever you need me to swear on that. Like that, if we were talking today about a 1-1 series, I'm like, yeah, I'm not worried. Go get one or two in Tampa and finish the series in six.
Right
now, I'm like, all right, finish the series in four or five.
God, can you imagine how insufferable we're gonna be if the Panthers sweep?
I'm just going to save that energy, that attitude, all of the material that's building up in my head for when it does happen, personally. And if it doesn't happen, that'll be sad because I won't be able to use it.
I will literally never stop talking about it.
Yeah, I won't bury Tampa until it's done.
Right,
I'm just saying through two games, like the Panthers, they feel inevitable. We're just waiting for the finger snap of, hey, it's over. That doesn't mean Tampa can't, you know, pull something together. And we're talking about a game five meeting a 2-2. Like, I have all the respect in the world for Tampa.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, as we sit here today at 2-0, I don't see how Tampa gets back in this series. I don't think home ice advantage is going to do enough to get them back to Florida for a game five at 2-2. I think their best case scenario is 3-1.
I don't know. Like, I still do have that thing in the back of my head that's like, well, Vasilevskiy can shut us out twice in a row.
They can, but
I don't think that will happen.
We haven't seen it through six plus periods.
Right.
We have not seen it. We all have a healthy appreciation for Tampa and healthy respect for them. But on the ice, the Panthers are by far the better team. This game shouldn't have gone to overtime. The Panthers were by far better.
No, it shouldn't have.
It was just
Vasilevskiy had a great game. Like that's the funny thing about this series is Vasilevskiy has had a really good series. And
They've gotten all the things we said. Hey, if Tampa's going to win this series, these are the things that they need to do. They've done them and they're down 2-0.
Well, they haven't dominated on the power play.
That's true. Well, but I think they're going to. Like, yeah, both teams have one power play goal in each game.
Yeah, they're not winning the special teams battle right now. I don't think that power play, that second power play that the Panthers scored on was just an awful kill by Tampa. Like I said, they could have given up 5 goals on that power play. They were fortunate that they could only give up one. That's just the way that it works. That you can only give up one goal.
But that's
goal
a sign
on
a of a team
play.
That isn't ready. That,
right.
Well, not
that's
ready,
what I'm talking about.
A sign of a team that's done.
Yeah.
They don't have the depth. They don't have the PK killers anymore.
Yeah, I guess it is semantic to say, like, the case for them to win this series, or like the blueprint to them to win this series, involved them having way better chances of scoring on the power play than they've had. It's not like they've missed a lot of open nets. It's not like the Dumba chance that Bob miraculously saved has happened a few times when the Panthers are killing a penalty. They're 1-for-4 on the power play, and that's what they should be, if not 0-for-4 or something like that. You know, they're 1-for-something. Right. I don't remember what it is. And that feels right.
Yeah.
They would need to be going about 50% to be in the series.
They are getting bounces and still down 2-0. This could easily have been a 2-0 Panthers, where both games are 2+ goal wins for the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
Anything else that you feel like people are going to be talking about that we haven't touched on?
Yes. You know who I also feel like hates the Panthers? Is Anthony Duclair. I don't think he is very appreciative of having been traded to San Jose. Because it feels like every time the Lightning have played the Panthers since the Lightning have acquired Duclair, he's been like vaguely out for blood.
I mean, I get it. Can you blame him? Hey, you traded me and
it's
brought
in
Evan Rodriguez instead. I think Anthony Duclair has been good. And I'll say, because I tweeted about it, the fact that there are Duke chants in the arena from Florida Panthers fans, what the fuck are you doing? This is the fucking playoffs.
Maybe it was to distract.
And you're chanting for an opposing player? Shut the fuck up. Like, I was so livid. Like,
I know
I'm sorry. We
about,
all love
yeah.
Duke. I love Duke. But I'm sorry. He's wearing a fucking Tampa Bay Lightning jersey. He does not get the Duke chant right now. He gets booed.
I think it was to distract him.
Disagree.
Maybe they were booing him. Maybe they were booing him, and it just sounded like the Duke chant.
Oh, no, it didn't.
I agree with you that, like, no. Panthers fans at the BB&T Center, at the Bank Atlantic Center, at the fucking
Office Depot Center.
Office Depot Center. FLA Live Arena. You do not cheer for opposing teams' players, no matter how much you loved them when they were Panthers. Do not do that. Fortunately, there won't be any more games in this series at Amaranth Bank Arena, so it's a non-issue.
Fucking right.
But yeah, don't do that again.
Cool thing, apparently Tommy was having a hard time going to bed tonight, so I was FaceTiming him right as the goal was scored.
Aww.
So he literally got to share in the celebration of the Panthers snatching the soul of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Rate us 5 stars at Burns Steakhouse, where we will be after that Game 4 series clincher.
I fucking love Burns.
And with all that said, Game 3 Thursday, we've got our normal weekly show coming out Thursday morning as well with Liam McHugh. Good night, everybody. Go Panthers.